This just in, Wired.com reports that the Google of China, called Baidu, is setting up a lab in Silicon Valley dedicated to deep learning, an emerging computer science field that seeks to mimic the human brain. And, as Wired observed, it makes sense. If you want to compete with Google, best to do it in Google's backyard. The lead researcher on the project, Kai Yu, said that they want to build an algorithm that can identify images and understand natural language and then parse the relationships between all the stuff on the web and find exactly what you're looking for. In other words, trying to beat Google. That's a global frustration. Earlier this week, a consortium of big tech companies, including Microsoft and Oracle, filed suit in the European Union against Google. The charge? Google was using its Android mobile system to monopolize the crucial mobile market. Yawn. How often has Google been accused of giving search preference to its own products, invading users' privacy, and unfairly crushing competitors? And how many times has Google denied its seeming invulnerability in the search market? Here's Eric Schmidt, Google's then CEO, in front of Congress in 2011.
If you don't like the answer that Google search provides, you can switch to another engine with literally one click.
In the digital age, he says, no one dominates for long.
The only constant is change. 10 years ago, no one would have guessed that the vocabulary in economics would look like it does today. And no one knows what it will look like in 1 year or 5 years.
Google is accused so often of not playing fair that it doesn't respond most of the time. But this time, it must have hit a nerve because Google responded on its blog, writing, "If users don't like our results, they can try Bing, Yahoo, DuckDuckGo, or even Google minus Google." Producer Chris Neary has the story about the one with the duck.
Okay, you've heard of Yahoo and Bing, and Google minus Google is just a way to use Google that doesn't call up results from Google products like YouTube. As for DuckDuckGo, you've probably never heard of it.
Sure, Gabriel Weinberg, and I run the search engine DuckDuckGo.
DuckDuckGo is based in the town of Paoli, Pennsylvania. In Gabe's office, there's a tiny kid-sized office chair for his kids to use when they come to work with him. He's just 33, and the company has 6 employees. It's only about 5 years old.
So we've grown about 500% every year. So to put that in perspective, about a year ago, we were at 10 million searches a month, and now we're at about 50. And so if we grew about 5 times where we are now, we'd be about 1% of the market.
DuckDuckGo got $3 million in venture capital funding a little while back. Nate is not an amateur in the tech world. He made $10 million selling an early social networking company. So maybe Google citing DuckDuckGo isn't entirely absurd.
So, I mean, it's awesome. I mean, it's great to be called out as a competitor. They have all this antitrust legal stuff going on, and it's their best interest to say that there are competitors that people can switch to. And we get out of it to be taken seriously.
DuckDuckGo isn't a search engine like Google. It actually uses search data from other sites, including Yahoo. It runs Yahoo's ads and splits the revenue with them. So how is DuckDuckGo different? Gay believes he's created a way to present the data in a better, more relevant way. But that means different results from Google, and that can be jarring. On the plus side, DuckDuckGo doesn't collect any of your personal data at all, full stop. That's drawn a lot of users and media attention. Still, Danny Sullivan, who founded SearchEngineLand.com, laughed when Google cited DuckDuckGo as a contender.
It would be like a major baseball player saying, yeah, there's plenty of great athletes out there. Look at this kid who's in eighth grade. And the only reason it can really get counted is because there's relatively little competition in the space that you're almost sort of dredging the ground to try to find somebody else you can throw in there to make it sound like it's a very competitive market.
Google is playing a different game from smaller search engines. It has the resources to be super granular and global.
They're thinking about things like, how do we suggest better related searches when you're searching in Vietnamese for famous actors and actresses? They get that far down into the weeds to do those kinds of specific things, and they have that much talent and that much resources that they throw behind it.
Google said you're free to click over to DuckDuckGo if you're dissatisfied. But is it really that easy? Switching search engines fundamentally changes how you answer life's questions. Gabe says if you use DuckDuckGo for a week, you'll be converted. So I asked OTM producers Alex Goldman, Jamie York, Sarah Abdurrahman, and PJ Vogt to join me in using DuckDuckGo, and only DuckDuckGo, for a week. But first, I asked them what they use now.
Google.
Google.
I use Google.
Alta Vista. Google.
That last one, PJ, he studies improv.
When I'm home at my mom's house using her computer, she has it set on like one of the bad ones, like Yahoo or something, and I don't know how to fix it. So when I'm home, I use it, and it's bad.
Alex had a similar experience with Ask.com when his wife accidentally installed it as a default browser.
I ended up using Ask for about 15 minutes, which was a
nightmare. So what's the noticeable difference?
The noticeable difference is it gives you nothing of utility.
And here's Jamie, our longest tenured producer, on the prospect of not using Google.
Like I would feel writing with my left hand for a week. It seems totally unnatural.
Sarah, who's been called unflappable around the office, was game.
I haven't used DuckDuckGo yet, but I've seen its homepage, which looks really clean and doesn't have a lot of clutter on it. And I'm not as terrified as the rest of the guys because I can't imagine how the results could be so different.
All right, a quick word about our jobs. The most important part is finding stories for the show. Google helps us find those stories. Switching to another search engine made our jobs harder. A week passed. Stories were found, guests were booked, interviews were edited. An episode of On the Media was made. And yet,
if you were learning English in our office, you would think the name of the search website was like f***ing DuckDuckGo.com.
That's PJ after a week.
It's like actually affected my moods. And I was telling you this, if I drink at all, the first thing I want to do is just Google stuff.
And Alex, he missed the breaking news Google gives him at the top of his search results.
I mean, how am I supposed to know what Jennifer Lawrence's dress for the Oscars look like if I can't Google, if I can't DuckDuckGo Jennifer Lawrence Oscar dress and find a picture of it immediately?
Everyone was frustrated, except Sarah.
I kind of liked how the search results had like the symbol of the pages. It was kind of like a shortcut. If one of the search results was from CNN, it'd have the CNN logo next to it or something like that. I mean, it was really clean looking.
Philosophically, I don't like the idea that there's nothing that can challenge Google and that we all just sort of sit back and wait for Google to deliver to us the things that will make our lives better and easier.
That's Jamie, our staff philosopher.
I mean, how else do you get to vote? By, you know, favoring another search that makes privacy job one.
There are some people who have cast their vote for DuckDuckGo. I talked with a couple of them. A few impressions. They were technically adept, interested in privacy, and they go their own way.
I'm a graphic designer, but I'm also a Republican. And I don't know any graphic designers other than myself, you know, that are Republicans.
That's Hugh Roper, a regular DuckDuckGo user, and
I'm a Mormon, and I volunteer to teach high school seniors. That class starts at 5:50 in the morning. I get up early, I put a suit and tie on, and then once that's over, then I come home, I change into jeans, and I'll usually spike my hair.
After an initial false start with DuckDuckGo a few years back, Hugh says it now does everything he needs, and the search results are at least as good as Google's. The difference between Hugh and my coworkers? Hugh wanted to find an alternative.
Generally, when companies are considered the underdog, they have to work harder. I think they focus on the customer more. And I really don't think Google's motivation is to do what's best for the customer. I think they do what's best for Google.
So I also tried DuckDuckGo. It's been about 2 months. It's my default search at work, and I can say it becomes easier and more effective if you give it a little more time. Still, if I don't immediately find what I'm looking for, I switch over to Google. Danny Sullivan of SearchEngineLand.com thinks he knows why.
For thousands of years, hundreds of thousands of years, if we needed to know something, we turned to other people we trusted. And in the blink of an eye, we started putting in our most complicated or private or uncertain questions into these search engines. And we built this relationship with these search engines that we use. And these days, we've built this relationship with Google that we trust it. And so when you think about these competitors, it's almost as if they're like somebody you don't know walking into your house saying, "Hey, I want to be your best friend. Let's go hang out. Who are you?" And if you do try it, you're going to be really wary of it. If it makes any kind of mistakes and doesn't lead you, you know, correctly, you're going to go, "Well, I'm going to go back to my other friend." If Google starts doing things you really don't like, then you might start thinking, "Hey, I kind of need to hang out with someone else. Come on, DuckDuckGo, let's go for a walk."
Okay, here's something that happened during the course of reporting this story. I searched for the Planet Money site. That's another NPR show. It told me that Planet Money was a dangerous site, And clearly, that's not true. I called Gabe, he fixed it quickly, and then he wrote me an explanation. It was pretty cool. That doesn't make us best friends, but it is a start. For On the Media, I'm Chris Neary.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.